Yeah, we've been going through Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church.
Oh, I've got to get too close.
Yeah. So far we've seen that there's a struggle going on in the church in Corinth, a struggle with their culture, with turning the whole of their lives towards Jesus Christ. And we've seen the Corinthian church really does look a lot like their own culture. And particularly it looks like Corinth, the culture at Corinth, in ways that it should not look like the Corinth culture. And the church is adopting the merely human wisdom of the city of Corinth. And, or in other words, it looks like an unredeemed Corinth, not a Corinth that is turned towards Christ. And they aren't really living out of the fullness of the gospel as a church. So Paul, right from the start, begins to address the problems that he sees in Corinth, particularly their views on leadership and the divisions that this is creating in the church. And he's teaching them about how Jesus is the centre that brings us all together, and that leaders are merely servants watering and planting, but God gives the growth, and leaders are to build on the foundation of Jesus and his cross. And to build well on that foundation, and they'll be judged for how well they do that. Well, we come now to chapter 4, where Paul continues to unpack the implications of Jesus and his cross for leadership in the church, for the way that we practice leadership, and if you're a leader, how do you understand your leadership? What is the nature of that leadership? There are three sections. Leaders are servants of Christ, 1 to 5, 6 to 13. Leaders are to embody the cross. And 14 to 21, leaders are models in the community. So there's an aspect of this that applies to all of us, not just leaders. So firstly, let's look at verses 1 to 5. Verse 1, this then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required of those who have been given a trust that they must prove faithful. Paul begins by reminding the community what a leader is. What are leaders? Paul says in verse 1, we are servants of Christ. Now interestingly, here he's not talking about his service among them. He's talking specifically here about his relationship to Jesus. Very important to see this. It's not about his relationship to the community as a servant in their community. It's about his relationship to Jesus. I am a servant specifically of Jesus, he says. And he goes on to say, we are servants of Christ, those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now, the phrase those entrusted, the Greek word there is oikonomos, from which means household manager. And some translations have steward. It's a really lovely concept. Go to a great house in the ancient world and you have the great family, but you also have managers in the household. People who manage the wine cellar, people who manage the silver, people who manage the system of heating, and so on and so on. And Paul says, what are leaders? We are managers, he says, of God's mysteries. God has revealed these extraordinary secrets in Jesus Christ, and our job is to manage them so that the guests of God's house are brought into a knowledge of these mysteries of God revealed in Jesus. And Paul says, we leaders are servants of Jesus, and we have been entrusted with the task specifically of managing the gospel, the mysteries of God found in Jesus. And then he says, verse 3, I care very little if I am judged by you or any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes, and he will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Now, this is quite tricky, and I had a lot of difficulty getting my head around, why is Paul saying this? What is he getting at? Paul seems to be pointing this out as a way of saying, on the one hand, as a servant of Christ, there's a great freedom in his leadership. In other words, because he's a servant of Christ in the community, he's not courting an audience. He doesn't have to worry about what the Corinthians think, right? In fact, it liberates him to say all kinds of difficult and challenging things to the Corinthians. He's not beholden to their approval. He's not waiting for their approval, for them to say, yeah, Paul, we embrace you, we love you. He seems to be emphasizing that, no, he's obligated to Christ. And he's emphasizing that as a way of stressing his freedom to say what needs to be said in the Corinthian church. And that he has a liberty to be very challenging and say hard things which are counter their culture. Because ultimately he is serving Jesus. Ultimately he's accountable to Jesus for his leadership. Not primarily accountable to the body of Christ in Corinth. So Paul talks about the future. He begins to look forward to the judgment of Christ, and he says, that's when everything will be revealed, the secrets of our hearts, and God will judge me then. And Paul here is not saying that the gospel makes us thick-skinned. Like, he's not saying that we need to understand that we're secure in Jesus Christ, that God has made us righteous, not based on our effort, but based on Jesus. And therefore, that gives us a freedom to say hard things to people. That's very true. But that's not what he's saying here. He's not saying the gospel makes us thick-skinned. He's saying the fact that he's ultimately accountable to Jesus means he can say what needs to be said to the Corinthians. He doesn't need the Corinthians' approval. And he's not saying that evaluation itself is wrong, I don't think. Because if we read through the whole chapter, we can see that the whole passage is a kind of evaluation. Paul is giving his credentials as a leader. And he goes on in this next section to talk about how his leadership is validated by the life that he's living. And so there's a sense in which Paul is in fact evaluating himself. But his point seems to be human evaluation is fallible. It's fallible. And it's an unreliable guide to evaluating your leadership. And he says, even my own opinion of myself is unreliable. It's fallible. And certainly your evaluation of me, it's unreliable, he says to the Corinthians. Paul seems to understand that as he's looking at the Corinthian church, he knows the Corinthian church has been evaluating him. They're rejecting him. And they're suspicious of his leadership. Why? Because he doesn't fit their culture. They look at the Apostle Paul and he doesn't look Corinthian enough. He doesn't have the rhetorical flair that they've come to expect and demand of their leaders. And so there's a sense in which they want to push Paul away. They want to reject Paul. But Paul is saying here, no, I'm accountable to Jesus Christ. My faithfulness is in relation to him. Am I managing the mysteries of the gospel in your midst? Paul is pushing the community to understand that he doesn't judge himself and he doesn't look for their judgments, precisely because he knows that Jesus will judge him in the end. He understands that his call is from God and he's accountable to God. So he trusts that God will bring to light the things that are hidden, that God will expose the motives of men's hearts. And so Paul can be patient. He can wait for that judgment to be made at the end. And he isn't directing us away from all evaluation, I don't think, because we could look at this entire chapter and see it as an evaluation of sorts. But he is trying to help us understand that because we are called into leadership by Jesus, our first and primary obligation is to him, no matter what anyone else says. And so those of us who are leaders in the church, we need to understand that our obligation is directly and finally to Jesus. And we do have short-term obligations. There's a sense in which we are rightly, we do have obligations to others in the church. We are accountable in some ways to others in the church. Our gospel community leaders are accountable to our pastoral team. I'm accountable to Soma Global and so on. But that's true, but there's a greater sense. Here, Paul is pointing us to recognize that our GC leaders, our pastors and our elders should understand how they are ultimately accountable to Jesus himself in their leadership. And as leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to understand that our primary line of accountability is to Jesus. Or we'll never be free in our relationships. We'll never be free in our leadership. And like most leaders, I guess I've got to say I've had my fair share of suspicion and rejection, starting very early on when Moore Theological College didn't want to let me study there, and people had to manoeuvre so hard to get me in, and they put me in college to keep an eye on me, so I was able to live there 4 years, which was nice. And eventually, the Anglicans didn't want to employ me at first, but I got a job in student ministry, and I noticed at Newcastle that most of the pastors were very suspicious of my leadership. The chaplains on university campus were suspicious of my leadership and against it. I had one parent of one of our leading students actively trying to get rid of me, going to every single authoritative body he could to try and get me stopped on campus. And it's sort of continued like that. Perhaps I'm a bit different, I don't know. People just have not sort of known how to evaluate me. And this passage has been a great comfort to me, that it doesn't matter what they say, you know, in the end. It's good to listen, but in the end of the day, Jesus knows my heart. And Jesus has called me to the ministry that I have, which is about the gospel. And he will judge me on that final day and the truth will come out. That's a really comforting thing, even though that's scary in a sense. It's also comforting to know that he sees the true me and he knows me. And that really matters. And that gives me the courage to continue on. So that's the first thing. The second thing, Paul says in verses 6 to 13, that leaders in the community of Christ are called to embody the cross of Christ in their lives. Paul writes, verse 6, "Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, 'Do not go beyond what is written.' And then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. For who makes you different from anyone else? And what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Already you have all you want. Already you've become rich. You've begun to reign. And that without us. How I wish you really had begun to reign, so that we might also reign with you. So it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle of the whole universe to angels as well as to human beings. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are so strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We're in rags. We're brutally treated. We're homeless. We work hard with our hands. And when we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. And when we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. Wow. Paul says to the Corinthians, you've become puffed up and boastful, that they're aspiring to a kind of leadership that doesn't involve suffering. And Paul begins to contrast the style of leadership that they're aspiring to and the kind of lifestyle that they're aspiring to with the lifestyle and life of the apostles. As a way of showing us what the cross of Jesus means for leadership in the church. What does leadership modelled on Jesus and his cross look like? Paul offers himself and Apollos as examples. In other words, Paul gives them a concrete example of leadership. And he says, look at us. Us is a case study of what it means to be a leader. Do you measure up? And of course, there's a lot of sarcasm here with Paul. You Corinthians are kings already. You know, and that without us. But Paul wants them to see that leaders in the church should embody the cross of Jesus in practical, tangible ways. And that it should be something that can be seen in that leader. It's something that identifies that leader. It's not just in their words, it's in how they actually live. And Paul says, if you want to know what it looks like to be a Christian leader, look at me. This is what it looks like. And as we begin to think about our own call to leadership, if you're a leader, what does it mean? What does it look like to be a gospel community leader or a pastor in this church to embody this vision of leadership? It's a sobering point that Paul is making. Paul says of himself and the other apostles, we have no status. We haven't become apostles to gain status. In fact, we're the scum. We're the dirt on the floor that people are sweeping up. That's who we are. You're the spectators. Good on you. Great, great for you guys in Corinth. But we are the spectacle. We are those who are being dishonored in the games. And you're looking on like spectators. You see, Paul is showing us what leadership is in the church. It's servant leadership. We carry our cross. It includes making decisions that our colleagues, our peers in the broader culture may not understand. It's living a different kind of life. It's being a model in the community. The Corinthians, in some real sense, seem to want the best of both worlds. They want to believe in Jesus and they want to embrace him, but they don't want to be reordered by him and remade by him. They want to be Christians, but they want to live like their fellow Corinthians. And it's tearing this particular community apart. And we need to understand the wisdom of the cross is always countercultural to our taken-for-granted world that we live in. It's always countercultural to the fallen world we live in. And even though there are many things we have in common with our culture, and appreciate and enjoy in our culture, we begin to realize that in a real sense we're different, we're separate, that there's a difference in our lives and that we're making choices from different values and different beliefs, and that causes many difficulties for us in our community, that the cross of Jesus leads us to deny ourselves and follow him in radical ways, in tangible ways. And it's a challenge for us, a sobering view here of leadership. As we think about our role as leaders, we think about how do we select leaders? We're going to be selecting new leaders by identifying those who already are modelling the cross of Jesus in the way they live in the community. Not just people who are willing to lead. No, those who are beginning to embody the cross in their lives. And we can see their life in the community, that they truly are servants and putting themselves out for Christ and for others. Because Paul begins to turn the idea of leadership upside down. He says, leaders embody the cross of Christ. And for us apostles, it's meant tremendous suffering. And we need to notice that Paul's suffering is extreme, but all of us are called to some extent to enter into that suffering, to taste a little bit of that, even if we're not called to do what Paul did. And this is a way that we show Jesus to the world. Now, in this third section, 14 to 21, Paul says it's not just apostles and leaders who need to embody this, it's the whole community. Because Paul goes on to say that he's a model for the whole community to follow. And Timothy also is a model for the community. Verse 14, I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. And he will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in the church. Some of you have become arrogant, as if I'm not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline, or shall I come to you with love, with a gentle spirit? Now, Paul doesn't want to shame these Corinthians. Paul understands that he's their father in Christ. He planted the church. He was the first to share the gospel with them. He's got this special, unique, wonderful relationship with them. They're dear to him. He loves them, and he wants them to grow up in Christ. And he longs for their whole lives to be formed by the gospel. That's what he wants for them. Why? Because that's health. That's life. And anything short of that is not life at all. So the degree to which they're failing to be formed by the gospel in Corinth, to that degree they're still living in brokenness, and they're not moving out of that brokenness. They're stuck. And Paul longs that they would taste fully the life in Christ. And so he says, imitate me, and that's interesting. He doesn't say, do what I say. He says, do what I do. Live the life I'm living. And that's not enough. Paul doesn't just say this through a letter. Paul knows they need a presence, and so he sends Timothy, so that Timothy will be a model for them. Because discipleship is something that's learned life on life. Not simply by taking a class, reading a book, listening to a sermon, or reading the letters of Paul. It's learned in community as we bump up against each other as human beings. Leaders model in community, in relationship, among the people, they model the cross of Christ. We're meant to live the gospel among people so that they can see it. We embody it among them. It's a real involvement that's required of leaders here, living out these truths of the gospel so that people can see it. So as we live our lives in community, people see the cross of Christ and the power of the cross, including people who we're on mission to. Paul knows we need models. He knows we learn from actual examples. He knows that it's relational. He knows that it's life on life. He knows that there needs to be deep community, so that we see what this life in the gospel actually means. So Paul says, imitate me, and I'm sending Timothy to this end as well. So we put that slide up, Jim. How does this mean? What does this mean for our leadership in our community? A few ideas. First idea, there is freedom and accountability in our leadership if we realise we're servants of Jesus and primarily accountable to him. That means as we lead in our particular role, we're not obsessing about popularity or approval. Rather, we're obsessing about being faithful to what Jesus has called us to do, that is, to manage the mysteries of the gospel so that the community can know them. So do we understand the gospel as leaders? Are we going to be found faithful in the way that we are living out the gospel and the way we've made the gospel central to our life of leadership within the community that we're part of? There's a freedom in leadership as servants to Christ. We're free to live and to teach the gospel among the people, even though that is starkly countercultural. And even though many will question and reject our leadership, we know that the only opinion that ultimately matters is Jesus' opinion in the end. And if we're faithful to him and the gospel, we will receive our praise from him. Second idea, verse 6, Paul says that we should not go beyond what is written, that is, beyond the scriptures. He's calling the community that he knows is struggling with the wisdom of Corinth versus the wisdom of Christ. And he's saying, you as leaders have to live out of the wisdom of Christ. We need to be careful that we're living out of the wisdom of Jesus in our leadership. We need to be guided by the wisdom of Christ. We need to lead the community in a constant dialogue with the wisdom of Christ. You know, the deep mysteries of God revealed in Christ. Two things. Under this idea of living in the wisdom of Christ, firstly, are we growing in our understanding of the mysteries of God revealed in Christ? Is everything that we're doing helping us grow and grow and grow in our deep understanding of Jesus and the gospel? In our conversations with friends, in our study, in our reading, but not just in abstraction, in our real involvement, in our real context, with real people in real community, are we beginning to understand what the gospel means in practice? And is that our kind of main incredible adventure that we are engaged with? You see, Paul takes this gospel and he presses it into the real church, the real people, and that's what we're to do as well. We're to live this gospel, but we're to bring it into real relationships. Second, do you understand the real life struggles that you have and that you're not, as a leader, applying the gospel to properly? And do you understand the places in this community of ours where we're not living in light of the gospel? Where the people that you're interacting with as a leader, do you pay attention to where they're struggling? Do you know where they're not making the transition to living out the gospel? We have a culture of rampant individualism, hedonism, many distractions from church and community, a love of pleasure, a misuse of sexuality, a misuse of financial resources. How are you helping those in your gospel community or that you know, how are you helping people understand the implications of the cross for all of those things? In your own life, are you understanding that? And in your life with others in community, are you understanding them and what they need as you help them transition to living in the fullness of the gospel? That's the task that we are given as managers of the mysteries of God revealed in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, our mission as a church community involves embodying the cross of Jesus. Jesus hasn't left us just with the gospel. He's left us with the church that lives out the gospel. And the church is a community meant to embody the cross and to show off Jesus to the world. It's a church on mission. So what are we showing off to the people around us? We must embody the message of the cross. We need to understand more than the facts. We need to understand beyond just the simple facts of the gospel, of Christianity. No, we need to embody those facts in our life together in a real way that shows the world who Jesus is. So let's keep praying for our leaders and pray that God will show you whether he's calling you to maybe a greater role in leadership or a different role in leadership. And could you pray that God would raise up leaders in our community who understand the cross of Jesus and who are committed to the gospel, to living the gospel in community, embodying it among us in a heavily relational way and embodying it in the world so that the world can see and know Jesus. Amen.